It's time for the CMC Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC Super Show.
Good afternoon. You heard that intro, so you know exactly what time it is. As always, I'm Petty Officer Hepburn, a.k.a. YF Menace, and I'm here with our CMC. So how are you doing this afternoon?
Great. It's great to be back in Rota.
Where did you venture off to?
Yeah, I was gone back to D.C. for work for about a week and came back Saturday.
Okay.
So, still jet lagged. But
that will do that. That will definitely do that. And then I know here at home we recently welcomed back the shipmates of the USS Roosevelt after a six-month patrol. So were you able to actually see the families reunite?
Yeah, you can't miss that, right? It's nice to see them, the crew and the ship came back and seeing the families reunited. I've been there a handful of times, done it a few times. So it's always nice to see them get together.
All right. And then you were seen getting your color on a couple weekends ago with the MWR color run. So how was your color run experience?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I had a great time. I was told to, hey, wear white T-shirt and, you know, that you're not going to use again. But me being lazy and not preparing the night prior, you know, I just grabbed whatever nice shirt that I got, white, and ended up running it. So it was a great time.
Okay. And then did you get to practice your throwing and dunk the CO or XO in the dunk tank?
Unfortunately not, because I had to go run some errands because I'm flying out that night, right? So after the run, packed my bags and went to the airport. So.
Okay. And then what was your favorite aspect of all activities at the color run?
Seeing the family, especially with the kids, right? Running out there, having a great time. That's always nice to see. Yeah, there's a lot of people this time, I believe, compared to last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we have a big week coming up as Farragut season is coming in. Not just one, but two of our surrounding communities. So what is your favorite part of Farragut season?
Yeah, we were talking offline with our two guests here. If you're here in Rota and you haven't been to Farragut, I would say take advantage of the upcoming Farragut events. Every city have their own schedule, but for us here in Rota, it's coming up. And make sure, I mean, the best part really is that theme and that feeling of the Farragut, right? It's a culture thing. I feel like I was in Hollywood, you know, studios, seeing everybody dressed up and, you know, little boys like Zorros, right?
Okay.
You have a handful of, you know, food options there, and then, of course, the rides for kids. It's not just for kids, but, you know, I took advantage of it last time as well. But, of course, I have to get there early to get that 50% discount. So if it's happening this year, I'll be there early as well. So.
Okay. And then are you planning on dancing a little Sevillana while you're at the fair?
No, I'm pretty occupied with my girls being part of it. So I think I'm just going to be watching from...
Okay.
From that end.
Okay. And then you've been to Farragut before, as you said. So what's the biggest tip for any of the new families in the community?
All right. First of all, find out the date and time. Have a plan how to get there. But you got to pick your dress. Be colorful. Right. So be colorful. Talk to your peers, coworkers that's done it before. There's actually a handful of shops out in Puerto or San Lucar you can get used Farragut dresses. But the new ones, I was surprised 2 weeks ago when we went there, and I was like, wow, €500?
Wow.
So, babe, go stick to $150 or whatever, right? Or get you a used one.
Mm-hmm.
So she got a new one.
Okay.
This time. And my girls, one of my girls out of three actually we have to get her a new one as well. So that's first and foremost, get a dress. And then enjoy it, you know, enjoy time, enjoy the culture, enjoy the crowd.
Okay. And then, of course, the thing that we all want to know, when are the Farragut happening?
So, Rota Farragut, I believe, is this Thursday, April 30th to Sunday, May 3rd. And then El Puerto de Santa Maria Feria will be on Wednesday, April 29th to Sunday, May 3rd. Just messaging here for safety. When going to Feria, know your limits and never drink and drive. So have a plan how to get there and how to get back, right? And if you're out there having a good time at Feria, you can always go to the taxi stands. There's plenty of taxis based on my experience last year. And always go to the stand and at the front entrance of Feria to request a taxi. So have a great time. Have a plan.
Definitely. But of course, April is a busy month, but it's also a month to talk about some important topics. And we've got two professionals from our Fleet and Family Support Center here to discuss right after this break. That was Miguel with Sure Thing, but April is Sexual Assault Prevention and Awareness Month, and it is also Child Abuse Prevention Month. And to discuss these important topics, the services available to the community, and their experience as professionals, we have one of our Naval Station Rota Sexual Assault Command Victim Advocates, Naisha Weary, and one of our Family Advocacy Program Coordinators, Ms. Anna Villalobos.
All right. So welcome to CMC Super Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having
us. So this is your first time with me, right?
Yeah, this is my first time. Yeah.
All right. So you guys are doing a great job so far. But usually what I do, if I have a guest, I ask them a few questions. So first one would be your journey to Rota. Starting with you, Naisha.
Starting with me, Naisha. Yes. I've always wanted to come here to Spain. It's always been a dream of mine to be able to service our sailors and our families here. It took a while because for the longest time, there weren't any positions open for many years. And then all of a sudden, SAPR became available. So I just feel like it was perfect timing for me to be here. So I'm here today.
Well, welcome to Rota.
Thank you so much.
Anna, how about you?
Well, I came here as a dependent, actually. We arrived because my husband got orders here, and I was one of the lucky ones. We typically converse and discuss, you know, how hard it is to be a spouse of a military person and try to re-engage and renew and try to keep up with your professional endeavors. And, you know, Fat Victim Advocacy and Educator position came abroad. It's the first time we've had it here.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough to be the first one.
So you took advantage of it. And
here we are.
There you go. Opportunity, right? Now, you mentioned you have family. Your family is still here with you? Or...
Well, yeah. We came because of my husband's orders. We have two young daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been almost 4 years, actually. Time flies.
Wow.
Yeah. Time flies.
Yeah, and for me, yes, I came here by myself, single, with my lovely dog, Chez. My family are back in the States, in Oklahoma, and I have a little bit of family in Texas. You know, we try to contact as much as we can, and they try to travel here as much as they can. But for the most part, yes, I'm here solo.
So have they visited you here
Not yet? Yeah, we're planning on it. With everything, with the travel and gas and canceled flights, it's been a little difficult, but yes, they are planning to come.
Great. Outside of what you do, both of you do to support the community, any hobbies?
Yeah, as for me, I like to read. I like to read a lot of self-help books. I love to travel. I'm glad I get the opportunity to be here in Spain because I do think it allows me to have more travel opportunities. And then I love shopping for the latest trends.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to... Don't meet my wife, all right? I'll be trouble.
Right. We need to hang out. And, of course, work out when I find the time. I like to exercise to stay grounded.
Okay.
So for me, most of my hobbies is dictated by my young children.
Yes,
you know?
Me too.
So we do a lot of hands and crafts, and we do love to travel, but my happy place is the beach.
Good.
So what we do as a family is we marry everybody's interests and try to come up with one cohesive, you know, because time's scarce. I've we, as not fat, but victim advocates, we carry duty. So it's kind of hard to mesh everybody's calendars. But what we try to do is one activity that fulfills many different interests. So.
Yeah, that's important. And then I would say I consider our counselors as first responders, right? You know, and I tell all my personnel too, my coworkers, colleagues, say, hey, make sure you take advantage of taking care of you as well and the family, right? It's just important. We're good on taking care of others, but how about us, right?
Yeah, because we can't take care of others if we don't take care of ourselves first. So
that's
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the best part of serving in Rota, what is that?
Ooh, I think for me, again, being able to service military service members in Spain, it's been a lifetime opportunity. Just seeing how everyone comes together and support one another. You know, we're always trying to figure out different ways to just push out the word of SAPR within the community. And not just with that in work, but even in my neighborhood, I have wonderful neighbors who have connected me with, you know, them culturally and helping me understand the culture. So it's been a wonderful experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
For me, I'll say, you know, it feels like we're a huge community, but also it feels like it's a small community in a sense, right? Because you will run into everyone everywhere, right? We all go to the same places. And I believe that it's all about perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I take that as an advantage because we have the commitment. It's beyond the duty of your work. We have the commitment because we share a space. We share a community.
Yeah.
All of our kids, you know, they play in the same playgrounds. All of our kids, they mostly, for the most part, they go to the same schools.
Yeah.
So it's that entanglement. We are a tight-knit community.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
I believe that because even, you know, 3-4 day weekend, you go to the airport, it's like, oh,
hello.
You meet somebody. Hello, hey, nice to see you again, right? So I think that's one of the benefits we have here in Rota compared to CONUS, right? I feel that the sense of community and care is much better in OCONUS and compared to CONUS, in my opinion.
I also agree with those things because I enjoy being out here a lot. But we'll be back with some more considerations after this break. Once again, that was Ray with Where's My Husband, and we are back with our CMC and our special guest.
Good afternoon, Team Rota. CMC Alvarado here. We're our two guests to talk about SAPR and FAP family advocacy programs, their roles, services, and importance of this month's awareness in relates to their primary duties. So starting with Anna, can you please inform us or educate us on the family advocacy program?
Sure. Mainly, I would like to convey to our community that we are here for you. We are here to serve you. As a victim advocate, my primary role is to focus on safety. So that's going to be the first thing that I go to whenever anybody reaches out. Okay. For us, the crisis intervention piece, the emotional support, we offer trauma-informed victim-centered advocacy services. That includes the safety planning, but we don't only go to the physicalities of it. We also worry about your well-being, your emotional well-being. How can we support you through the decisions that you have to make for you and your family the best way we can, right? We are the source of information. We are here to support you with the rest of the FAP team. We have non-medical clinicians. We have FAP case managers. But as a victim advocate, another one of the really important highlights that I want to share with you guys is that I do a lot of psychoeducation. I know it sounds like a big word, but all it is that your experiences, I can help you translate into better, healthier, you know, boundary setting. How do we better communicate? How do we resolve conflict without escalating?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? How about you, Naisha?
Yeah, as far as the SAPR program, yes. So what some people don't really recognize is that SAPR stands for our Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Program. Of course, the prevention piece stands for, like, the training piece. We want to make sure we're educating everyone, as well as the response. So in the event that there is a sexual assault, we are making sure that we are responding within an appropriate time frame. Typically, for once a year, we do our SAPM event, which stands for Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month, which is pretty much our call to action for the entire ROTA family. And it's just a reminder that prevention isn't just a yearly commitment, it's a daily commitment to looking for out for one another. And this month is just shining a light to say that we are here to help you and we're here to stand with you. In regards to our roles on our installation, it consists of one SARC, which is Christina Cobb. She manages our SAPR cases and ensures that policies and victim protection have been followed. We also have, our program also consists of having three civilian victim advocates, and we are pretty much the first responders in the event that we do have a crisis. But our staff can also select to have a uniformed victim advocate if they choose to. They don't want to come to us, so that is allotted to them. And just kind of along with what Anna was saying about the services, we do accompany our survivors with, you know, receiving that medical and legal service. If they want resources, we can provide them with that. Not limited to like a VLC, chaplain services, medical, behavioral services, things of that sort, whatever they feel like they need in that time to heal through their journey. So that's our goal, just to be like their cheerleader, their support.
True. Okay. So let's talk about, and especially our listeners too, about the reporting process. If I want to make a report, what's that look like, and who do I need to call?
Absolutely. On the SAPR side, we have restricted and unrestricted. Restricted is for survivors who need, like, the advocacy services, right? The medical care, the counseling. If they want to speak to a VLC, they can, without triggering an investigation. But if they do decide that they do want an unrestricted report, these are for the people who are seeking that full accountability through our legal system. So this may require us to open an investigation. Victims can request a VLC. They can request a military protective order if they feel unsafe. We also have an expedited transfer that they can put in the event that they may not feel comfortable in their command and they may want to leave the installation and go to another command that is allotted to them as well. So that's pretty much the bread and butter of our program when it comes to restricted and unrestricted. And just to add to that, even if a survivor, if anyone's out there who wants to just come in and just get information, we are completely protected. If you want to come in and if you want to just learn about our resources, you can come and tell us your story and we don't open up a case. So that's some misconception that some people may have about our program, that if they come to us, we'll open up a case, but that's not the case here.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's a common misconception that I've been hearing. They're scared to make a report or talk to somebody because of the that item that they're scared to get in trouble or the alleged offender, right?
That's right. Like, I wanna make the difference. I mean, we have the same reporting options, restricted and unrestricted. The main difference is the notifications, right, for investigative processes and also to the command. We do have the ability to advocate on their behalf for NPOs and things of no contact orders. And I will say, because it's CAPM, Child Abuse Prevention Month, when it comes to the kiddos, they're vulnerable. They're in a vulnerable state, so it's up to all of us to keep them safe. And one of the things that we do when there's allegations of child abuse or neglect, it has to be an unrestricted report. Now, I'm gonna say this to the community. That doesn't mean you're a bad parent. It means there's a concern. Maybe the whole story is not it's not open wide just yet. But what I would like everybody to focus is that we're here to provide the resources. I'll tell you, I've been doing this for about 15 years. I've done every certification on the board for really good mindful parenting, right? But I'm not 100% 100% of the time, and I need everybody to give themselves grace. We are here to support. We are here to add tools to your toolbox, and hoping that we can increase protective factors, which means connectedness, a better family dynamic, right? we can all make this happen. So when we talk about Awareness Month, this is what we're trying to say. We are here not to intervene, mm-hmm. but actually to prevent. And how can we prevent? Anticipating. You know?
True.
PCS season is coming. Summer is coming. The kids are going to be all day long
yes.
with you, right? Some of us are not used to that, and that's okay. So what can we do? That's what I would like everybody to kind of remember when they're talking about FAB, when they're talking about SAPR. As victim advocates, we take our leads from our clients.
Okay. So glad you mentioned that. So is there a way that, let's say, a family member want to get educated or know more about the prevention method, right? Is there a class online that they can just log in, create an account, and then log in and take some free classes about parenting and whatnot, right? Because me, as the base of the installation command mass chief, I mean, I have a handful of required training that I got to do, specifically annually, right? And then lately, I was like, you know what? I can do more because it's really, it helps me. First, it's a professional development on my part. And second, I'm also a dad. It's like, what else can I do to prevent, you know, stuff from happening? And not just being a mentor or a leader and providing those tools and services for our personnel, but really for me personally, you know, that helps me. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's amazing. Oh, I didn't know this one exists, right? So is there anything like that?
Yeah, my Navy HR. You can create your learning management system that's open to all military-affiliated families. You can also do Military OneSource. They have tons of curriculums. And I'm going to say, we have an open-door policy, like Aisha was saying before. If you have any questions, if you want some guidance, anything at all, our doors are open every day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4 at the FFSC building, 3293. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also, we have 24/7 access lines.
Okay, thank you. Any closing remarks, comments?
Yeah, just to add with Anna stated, yeah, we have a 24-hour response line, so if anyone have any questions or if they want to make a report, they can call our contacts. And again, if anyone came in and they wanted some resources and we may not be able to have them in SAPR, we will do a warm handoff and take them directly to where they need to go. So we're always here to support everyone the best way that we can.
Look for our numbers. You can see them all throughout the installation. SOS flyers have been updated throughout, we're proud to say, and you can find all of our 24/7 lines for suicide prevention, for domestic abuse, child abuse, SAPR, and the chaplains. So we're here for you.
Absolutely.
And all over social media too, Facebook group and website.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Okay, great. Thanks for having both of you, amazing guests, to be part of our show today. And hopefully a handful of our listeners, if you guys need their help, their assistance, please contact them. They're at Fleet and Family Support Center building on base. Online, contact them online or email or phone number. Somebody will be able to provide you assistance.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we really appreciate you for informing our Rota family and helping everyone be heard, feel confident and safe. And we will return after this song break to introduce our next guest. That was Michael Jackson with the Butterflies. And a couple weeks ago, we recognized a part of Team Rota that are the unsung heroes of our fire and emergency services on the installation during National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. And here to talk more about their jobs as emergency dispatchers and their roles in the emergency services fields are dispatcher Edson Olivier and ABH3 Brittany Sauter.
All right. Welcome, ABH3 and Edson. To a CMC Super Show. Once a month, I have the opportunity and honor to have this show. So good afternoon, Team Rota. So now, first off, let's talk about what got you to Rota, Edson.
Well, good morning, team. What got me to Rota, at first I was working at Naval Station San Diego for Navy Region Southwest in San Diego, California, where we dispatch Southwest. And I had got the opportunity to PCS to Sigonella.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved in 2019 and then stayed there about 2 years. And then for April 2021, I came to Rota and I've been here ever since.
So we were talking offline earlier. It's like, man, you're one of the lucky guys that actually get to stay in Rota for longer than 2 years. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
ABH3, how about you?
Good morning. So I got here, came from the CBN 71 USS Theodore Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. I was there for my first contract since 2019, and I got here in 2023.
Yeah.
And I'm about to leave, actually, in about 2-3 months. So.
To go and where?
Well, my husband has orders to Bangor, Washington.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been there?
Oh, yeah. Love it. Love great, the hiking great. And the outdoors.
That's it's good.
Awesome.
That's good. So you talk about you have a spouse. Your husband is going to get stationed in Bangor. How about you, Edson?
No, I'm here single, unfortunately. So
lucky. All right. And then, so other than emergency dispatch, what you guys do, a primary job, do you have any hobbies?
Oh, right now, I love traveling as mm-hmm. well as every now and then I'm starting to pick up pickleball. So since the weather's getting warmer, I'm starting to, not great, but I'm getting better at it.
That's good. So traveling is not a, it's not a cheap hobby, man.
No, it's not at all, not at all.
How about you?
Unfortunately, right now, I don't have any hobbies. My husband and I, our daughter just turned 1 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And so
you're pretty occupied.
We're pretty hands full. I like reading a book when I get a chance, but, hands full. And we just found out we're having another one on the way, so it's...
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. And then for us, that have older kids, a little older than yours, but, I used to have my own hobbies before kids. And then you have kids, guess what? Whatever they want to do, that becomes your hobby, right?
Yeah.
So that's just how it works, in my opinion. And then the best part of serving in emergency management service or dispatch in Spain.
Well, I love serving the community. I love when people call us when they need any assistance. Either they need a tow truck or they're trying to find a phone number to either the hospital or legal. And we're here 24 hours to help them, and it feels good that they have a number to call when they need some type of advice or some type of guidance to get things done. And that's what we're here for, to help the community.
Okay, so now talking about, this is part of my take five in the past, but talking about with summer coming up, what is your favorite summer activities?
Summer activities lately, because the weather's been so hot, I don't like to do too much outdoors. But a lot of times going to the beach, relaxing. I used to like jet skiing a lot, but mm-hmm. lately it's been more. I feel like because of the heat, I've been staying at home more lately. I don't know, because I'm getting older, but before I used to be out all day. And one beautiful thing about Spain is that in the summertime, the sun is much later.
Oh, yeah.
So
you can take advantage of the daytime,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you could be out till like 10:30 and then, still bright outside. So that's one of the good things.
Awesome. So ABH3, let's talk about what you do and what does emergency management team provide Rota?
Well, emergency management, we do part of the dispatching and then tracking all the dispatch stuff, so times to dispatch calls, as long as we're answering phone calls on time, hitting dispatch on time. We also do a lot of the CBR fit testing.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
To pick it back with what Brittany said, we are here more for the community. So anytime they have an emergency, they called us. We try to get them the help they need as quickly as possible or guide them to the right direction. So that's what our main focus here on base.
Okay. For last question, is there anything else that you want to provide or have listeners talk to?
Oh, just let them know that we are here to serve the community. We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If they have any questions, they can reach us via landline. They could call 911 if they have an emergency, and I could give the number if that's something that they would like to know.
Okay, well, thank you both of you for being my guests for the second portion of the CMC Super Show. And over to you.
All right. Stick around to find out how our emergency dispatchers do their job and the important role of public safety communicators. And we are back with our CMC and our special guest to talk more about emergency dispatch.
Good afternoon, Team Rota. CMC Alvarado here again on the CMC Super Show. So, first question to both of you. What are the training required to become a professional dispatcher?
Well, first, here in Navstar Rota, you have to take the what we call the telecommunicator class. It teaches you how to speak with callers, if they're irate, how to calm them down, if there's an emergency, how to try to get the information from them. That class tends to be about a week long, and the company we use is called IAED, mm-hmm. International Academy Emergency Dispatch. And once you get your telecommunicator course set in, then that's when you get the next class, which is EMD, Emergency Medical Dispatch, with the same company.
Okay.
This is about 4 days long as well. It's all online with a professor. And it teaches you how to answer 911 call, how to give pre-arrival instruction to the caller before first responders arrive. And also, you also have training with your mentor, whoever you assign with, which is usually a lead dispatcher on section, that teaches you how to be better and help develop your skills sets.
Okay, so that's coming from a civilian side, but is that the same qualification requirement for military, ABH3?
Yeah, so the military side takes the same courses. We also have to take a CPR course and some courses with the FEMA site to understand the basic command incident site, ICS.
Okay, so good. So now, timeline of an emergency.
For a timeline, so by the time you call 911, we have about 90 seconds to dispatch whatever unit it is, if it's security or fire or medical. So in the meantime, while we're on the line with you, we're asking you the appropriate questions that we need to tell the first responders, like the location, nature of emergency, and then also the cross streets and how many people in the house and what type of resources needed. So sometimes we might be on the phone with you, but once you get the main information, we do have help on the way. So sometimes people think that we're the one responding and they're trying to rush us off the phone, but usually we're just getting as much information to give the first responders.
And then there's also a difference between using a DSN government office line, landline, dialing 911.
That is correct.
And then if you're going to use your cell phone.
Yes, if you use your cell phone to call 911, you have to dial the whole phone number, which is +34 956 822 9111. Because if you use 911 on your cell phone, it goes strictly off base to 112, which that would be the local emergency Spanish dispatch.
Okay, and if they dial 911 off base as well using their cell phone, that would be a 112 instead.
That would be a 112 instead. That is correct.
Okay, and then it will be a delay process of dispatching.
Yeah, that would be a delay process. That's correct.
All right, you guys hear that? Listeners, make sure you have the right dispatch or emergency dispatch number to make any reports. Now, tips for the community on how to report an emergency or seek assistance, like what's the best practice?
Well, the best practice is try to know exactly where you are, where the emergency is if you're not there. Like, the address is crucial for us. Sometimes the building number or the name of the streets or any landmark. If you're, let's say, I'm at the next, so I'm at the commissary parking lot, or I'm by the flight line. So anything that could help us try to pinpoint where you are so we could send first responders. That way it won't delay any response on our end to send the units to the right location.
Okay. So thank you for that. Now, what's the meaning of National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week to you?
Well, it's good that we get recognized, because a lot of time when we think of first responders, people tend to firefighters or police officers or EMS, ambulance. Mm-hmm. We never get the light or shine of the person who's behind the scene that's sending the units to the location or that's doing the behind the scene work. So it's good to have 1 week out of the year where we get celebrated for what we do as a 911 emergency call takers.
Hey, CMC, never forget y'all, people. people behind the scene, right? So I give kudos to all of you, and I appreciate you all. So that's the reason why we invited both of you here, including our Fleet and Family Support counselors as well, right? Because in my opinion, all of you are part of the first responders. And you are right. A lot of times, you know, people would think that first responders are only just the cops, law enforcement, right, and then firefighters. Yeah. But there are also other parts that supports those teams, right?
Yes.
And that includes you all. So great job. Now, last thing is, before we wrap it up, any last comment, closing remarks for our community?
Well, we're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, if you need any help or any assistance, you could call us, and if we can't help you directly, we could always find the right person or guide you to the right people to help assist whatever needs you have. So that's one thing I want to tell the community.
Okay, good. ABH3.
It's pretty, hit the nail on the head. There's no such thing as a dumb question. Call us. We can help.
Great. All right. Thank you very much for
Thank
being
for
part
having
of the
us.
Guest. Over to you, DJ YF Menace.
And then to wrap up the CNC show, CNC does have some special announcements and upcoming events to discuss.
All right. So just a few public service announcements here. So NFAS update, make sure if you have not done so, please do so. Log into NFAS and update your profile. If you have not signed up for the ad hoc messaging, please do so using our OneNet or FlankSpeed account. And then tenant satisfaction survey for all our unaccompanied housing and base housing residents and family housing. You've only got a couple of days left to conduct your tenant satisfaction survey. Please do so for May 1st. Your feedback is really important so we can take action to it and improve what we have going on. And then a social media feedback survey still open. So check out our Naval Station Rota Facebook page to give us feedback on how we can keep you informed. I know there was a pause for a couple of weeks there because of the guidance that we have. But eventually, you know, it's back on right now. And make sure you guys provide those feedback. A couple more things here. If you live in family housing, tomorrow night, 1800 to 2000, 2200, they're going to have a maintenance on the barrier entrance by the big park, kids park. So they're doing a maintenance over there on the barrier. So the only way to go in and out family housing will be at Fuente Bravia Gate. So please plan accordingly. That one is going to be closed. That road is going to be closed during the maintenance period between 1800 to 2200 tomorrow for maintenance, planned maintenance barrier rescheduled. And then closures for Feria, security, and passing ID will be closed on Monday, May 1st and 4th, due to Spanish holidays. We do have a Unity game. Come out and cheer on our American representative at the Unity Games next week. And then opening ceremony will be on Wednesday, May 6th. At 12:30 at the base gym, and we'll make sure that our PAO and our admin officer, you know, send notification and all the scheduled events for those few days. And then, of course, Mother's Day meal at the galley will be earlier to celebrate Mother's Day with a special brunch at the galley on May 3rd. So it's open to everyone, so please, you know, come out there if you need some good meal. Other than that, it's nice to be back in Rota. About to get ready for summer.
Yes, that is the next best season around here. But as always, thank you to our community partners at Fleet and Family Support Center for coming by to discuss important topics for our community, and our emergency dispatchers for helping keep our Rota family safe. Just remember that you can always listen to the CMC Super Show anytime now by using your favorite podcast platform, including Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, and Amazon Music.